Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited to join us today. Before I jump into the podcast, go over and leave a five-star review. We really love those reviews. Leave some comments. I read all of them, and we would really appreciate that. But before we get started, I definitely want to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. Mention Coach Unplugged, you get $450 off, and you'll get the best customer service you'll ever expect. Just mention Coach Collins, and they'll take really good care of you. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's something... You know, when I started teachhoops.com, it was what I would have wanted as a young coach before, you know, all the state championships and all the nationally ranked teams that I've coached. And not to brag, just to kind of tell kind of my journey, I would have killed for this stuff because it would have made my life so much easier, a little bit of everything that you need to become a better basketball coach. And we are the only people out there that offer 14-day free trial because we believe in it so much. Follow the roadmap, work on your craft, and you get me, one-on-one mentoring. So I can't imagine anything better than that. I don't know. Anyway, go over and check it out, and let's head off to the podcast. All right, so let's have you share your screen. Let's talk 2-2-1 first.
Okay.
And do you run the 2-2-1?
So where I'm at now, this is my third year at the college level here, and I'm just this year is my first year where I was able to start to have some guys that could press, and so I was almost 100% divided. I had 5 seniors and 6 freshmen. And okay. So.
And tell me about the school. Tell me a little bit about Bob Jones.
Private Christian school. Okay. The sports program is pretty new. We are considered provisional D3 because it's a couple year process, but you know, we're to the point where we can have the logos on the floor and we can, you know, we compete against other D3, but we're not eligible for postseason play yet or anything like that. And so we're in this part of the country. It's not like where you're at. We're the only D3 in South Carolina. So
no.
So the rest are, there's a lot of D2s and NAIA schools around, but we're the only D3. So all of our games will be out of state when that happens. So,
and what, that's crazy. Like Wisconsin doesn't have any D2s,
right?
Wisconsin has 0 D2s. No, that's wrong. Parkside's a D2. They have one D2. But Minnesota has tons of them.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's interesting how NAIA in Division II is more than D3. Yeah. Like the WEAC could almost be D2 in our, they're so good. The WEAC's very good, like with Oshkosh.
Yeah, I mean, you think of all the good coaches that have come out of Wisconsin D3.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Bruce
Dick Pearl. Bennett, you know. Yeah. Bo Ryan, you know, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so the 2-2-1. So let's talk about the 2-2-1 and the stunt. So you go ahead. I'll be quiet and you go ahead and talk.
Okay. You know, my philosophy for my team is to have a player-led team. And I think that, you know, hopefully we have a chance to talk about program building a little bit later, but I think, you know, everything you do is based on your philosophy. And I don't think that you can have a player-led team in one respect, but then not let them lead in another respect. And so the way we play our offense, which is, if you were to look at it, you would say it's dribble drive, but it's really like the next version of dribble drive, where there's a lot more passing and quick movement. And then I think with defense, it's the same thing. I think especially with pressing, you can teach your guys to read situations, and I call it our motion defense. And, you know, you want to take yourself out of the equation as much as possible. Basketball doesn't lend itself to a lot of stoppages and correcting, like a lot of coaches like to do in practice. And so, you know, if you're going to have this philosophy, then you need to run your practices that way. And right. you need to let your players lead the practice. My players lead the first almost 30 minutes of practice without us saying anything. And they just know what to do and they get after it.
And is that the same for every practice, or does that change?
Almost every practice. You know, sometimes it might, I mean, the later you get in the year, the more you don't really need to do that. But I want them, you know, coaches talk about, man, we keep getting off to a slow start. And I think the way you practice every day affects how you play on game day. And so, you know, we do 10-minute jump rope before we get on the court, and then we get on the court and they get right into a pressing game or a special situation, whatever we've dictated for that day. And, you know, we don't stop anything during that time. We just film it and we address it later. But I feel like since we can't stop it during a game and fix it, we can't stop it during practice and fix it. And
right.
Obviously, we do in the first week or two, but as we get going, I want them to jump rope and then get right to playing. And then, you know, during that first water break, we do some dynamic stretching and we do some talking about what we just did practice-wise. But I feel like getting right into it, if you're going to be a pressing team and a player-led team, I feel like that starts with when they walk on the floor. You can't get them together, have a little huddle, go through dynamic stretching, do some shooting drills, and then expect to play awesome from the get-go when in a game situation. I just don't think those two things are congruent. So
right.
Everything stems from our philosophy. You know, I sent you this. If anybody yep. wants this, you can.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes too when it okay. goes out. I'll put it in the show notes so people
can. I'm creating a course to explain some of this and have some video of this on CoachTube.
Okay.
So if you or anybody wants to look at that, I'm not done with it yet, but
okay.
Break the other team's practice habits. I mean, I learned that from Morgan Wooten when I first started coaching. You know, it all comes down to that. And all of us know the personalities of the coaches in our league and most of the people that we play. And you know what you need to take away right now before you ever go into the season next year. Most of us, if we're doing our job, should know our opponents well enough where you know what it looks like in your practice to take away the other team's practice habits. And so all the things that are in this press, you could never do all in one year.
Right.
But if you pick some things that, you know your league well enough to do, you know, you can really mess with some people and break their practice habits if you pick the right things that fit your guys and fit what you're trying to take away from your opponent. You know, it helps your defense be more aggressive and communicate. I teach my press before I teach my half-court shell. I just feel like my shell goes so much quicker and there's so much more tuned into it when I've already topped my press first.
Because it's an easier sell, probably.
Right.
Right. They all want to press and run. Yeah.
So all I'm trying to do is build their mentality for the first couple weeks. And part of building that mentality, you know, I'm not to the point where I'm at right now where we have enough, where we've had enough games built up to do this. But at high school, you know, I would have how many times we held somebody to under 50 points, or how many times, you know, we beat somebody by whatever my goals were. And I posted that, you know, at the baseline on the court, on the wall there. And so the opponents had to see that we just held our last four teams to 46 points or something like that. And, you know, it was all about just building, you know, what was important to us and building that pressing habit. And it's more a mentality than anything. And, you know, you can teach half court defense pretty quickly, I think, if you've taught the full court defense well. And so number eight down there, my half court goal, or really my defensive goal, is to make them cross half court on the outer third. So cross by the sideline there. And when you do that, that helps everybody establish their ball side and weak side early. And you know, at my level, you have a shot clock, and we're really trying to get people to use a lot of time out of their shot clock before they ever get into anything.
Yeah. And the thing is, what I tell for people listening too, what I say is you basically want them outside the volleyball lines, because most high schools have volleyball lines.
Right.
So if you get them outside the volleyball lines, you're good. Because most high school courts have a volleyball line, and that outer third is outside the volleyball line.
And so when it's on the outer third, I want everybody on my team to be on that half of the court and just make it always look super crowded. And the only thing that should ever look remotely open is something, you know, 50 feet away.
Right.
And if that pass is able to be made, whether we're in a full court press or no matter what we're doing, if that pass is able to be made, there's no other problem than the fact that there wasn't enough ball pressure. It's an easy thing to know whose fault it was. And, you know, it's just like pressuring the quarterback. If the quarterback can see down the field, he's going to pick you apart all day.
Right.
And you've just got to make that other team's point guard into the best dribbler ever and not let him pass through your whatever defense you're trying to apply. I choose the 2-2-1 alignment. I did a call earlier today with a high school program in Texas. And, you know, what I'm not able to really show when I do this presentation, but I like to talk about, is Andy Landers was the women's coach at Georgia. And he's got lots of notes that are out there. He's got videos that are out there and all that. But teaching how he teaches man-to-man defense is really where I start. He's got a guy on the ball, and then the two defenders that are behind the on-ball defender, they're staggering that on-ball defender's shoulders. So the ball handler is always looking at the fact that if he dribbles left or he dribbles right, he's going to run into a defender. And when you teach that alignment that way, I think it's really easy to teach any press once you've taught where the off-ball defenders need to be in relationship to the ball.
Okay.
and how you rotate for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The 2-2-1 alignment, you know, I've coached from middle school up to college now, and I just think the 2-2-1 alignment is the easiest thing to teach. It gives you the most flexibility for things that you want to do. And I think that you can use it whether you're coaching girls, whether you're coaching unathletic guys, whatever. For me, the 2-2-1 alignment, if I teach that, I can teach any of the stunts that go with it, I think, pretty quickly.
Have you found that if, let's say I'm not as good as you, can I run it against you? If you're better than me, can I run the 2-2-1 against you?
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot,
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Like, you're more athletic, you got better dribblers. Can I, and I'm not quite as athletic, can I run it against you?
Yes. Okay. You know, your pickup point may be different. You see here what I have there on number four.
Right.
I like to put, if you have unathletic guys, most of the time they're probably going to be your bigger guys. And right. If they're playing, and I don't mind putting them up front because they make good, it's hard to pass out of a trap that a big guy does if he's able to set it. But if he gets beat, or, you know, if he sets a halfway decent trap, if you have two unathletic guys up front, then you have three athletic guys that are good at reading things and they can cover a lot of ground and erase a lot of mistakes. You know, I would rather my big guys get beat 94 feet away from the basket and then have my three, you know, most athletic, quickest guys be able to get back and hold the lane if it came to that, or be back there for my interceptors. And so
I like, you know, that idea. I like that idea.
One of the things we do is we 2-2-1 press off of every free throw. And so whoever is shooting the free throw is the front left of the 2-2-1 press. He just knows that he's going to drop back. So whether we make or miss it, if you think about where a 2-2-1 picks up, you know, that person has to take maybe two or three steps. And so make or miss, we know that we're right in a press off of a free throw. And it's just,
do you run your 2-2-1 on misses?
I have before. There was a coach out of Louisville, sent a lot of people to play for Pitino, both at Kentucky and Louisville. And I went and spent time with him. And I mean, you've really got to spend a lot of time doing it if you're going to be a team that does it. But I had a team that did it, and one of my teams that went all the way to the championship, you know, we just had a bunch of quick guys. We had nobody big, and that was the only way we were going to do anything. Right. And so I have done it, but it takes a lot of time to do it. It takes most of your practice time if you're going to be effective.
Yeah, you got to practice it a lot. That's what I have found too.
Yeah. But it's fun if you have – once you get to the point where the guys can do it, it's really, really fun to do.
Yeah, if you have a bunch of guards – I have found it to be more effective too. It's like, and they're interchangeable in some respects.
Right. Any other questions here?
Nope, that's good. Motion. Okay. Nope. We can keep going.
Just some thoughts with pressing. Don't get beat the same way twice. And you know, you can,
I do that on defense. I do that in everything. You should never make the same mistake twice.
Right.
Like, if you're not hedging on this, don't get beat. I mean, I give you one mistake, but you shouldn't do the same mistake twice. I do that. I talk about that all the time on both ends of the court, but yeah, right.
That's good. If, you know, and so when it comes to scripting practice, you know, I've had two assistants and I've had, you know, one be for the next game and then the other assistant be in charge of the scout for the game after that. And, you know, getting a good idea of what the other team wants to do against our press. And so, you know, you are going to get beat. That's why you have to have some change up and some different looks and what I call stunts. And your team has to get to the point where they know which stunt will take away whatever just beat them. And, you know, you're not talking about 20 different possible things. There's only a couple things that people can do, whether it's bringing four people all the way up to the ball or a 1-3-1 set, whatever. And if you practice those all the time, your guys will just get used to recognizing it. And, you know, through film and through practice, they can understand what stunt they need to do. And you don't need to call a timeout to fix it. And if you get your team to that point, you know, that really frustrates the other team a lot when your team is making changes on the fly and they don't need you to do it. And it sounds like it's difficult if you've never done it, but I would challenge you to try it if you haven't, and just see how your guys respond. Short memory. If you do get scored on, I hate it when we get scored on and we walk and let them get set up. If you get scored on, obviously, if they just scored on you and they were breaking your press, they're all right there by the basket. And so, you know, getting a guy who can inbound it and throw it long like Kevin Love, you know, that is really deflating for them to score and then us be scoring within, you know, 3 to 5 seconds. And I've had teams be really good at that. So, in effect, yes, you just scored on us, but we're back up the same point margin we just were within 3 to 5 seconds. So congratulations to you for scoring, but
right.
It really didn't do a whole lot to hurt us.
The wash, yes.
Right. Number three, you know, you don't get beat because of the type of defense you're playing. You get beat because of how you were playing that defense. And, you know, you'll get fans or administrators, parents saying, "Coach, they just beat you twice with layups. You need to get out of the press." Well, we don't get out of half court 2-3 zone or man to man when somebody scores on us twice. It's not the defense we're playing, it's how we're playing that. And you know, maybe we're the only ones in the entire arena that knows that, but you know, if you got to do it, you can't listen to what people in the stands say. They've got no idea what they're talking about. And if you have a pressing philosophy, you know, in my opinion, you need to have it long term. It can't be something you get out of. You know, if we had 6 or 8 points scored on us, that's the point that I would call a timeout. But that is very rare for that to happen, where I've got 6 or 8 unanswered points. So like I say there, number four, you can't be half pregnant. And because you can't be half pregnant, I don't think you can be a halfway pressing team. And then if it doesn't work for a little while, then you go to something else. I really feel like if you want to be a pressing team, your players know whether you're doing it halfway or whether you're all sold out to it. And I think they'll be sold out if you're sold out to it.
Right.
Any press is more effective if you make them cross half court on the left-hand side. I found that to be really effective on the high school level. You know, if you think about how a lot of 2-2-1 presses are beat, especially the ball goes in to the inbounder's right, it comes back to the inbounder, then it's kicked over to the left-hand side, and that's exactly what I want them to do. And so a couple of these stunts that I have here are really just to make that happen. I don't care if they get it in, and I don't care if they go back. I want them to go to the left, and then somebody who's not used to dribbling really quickly down the left-hand sideline with his left hand, you know, when the time's running, the 10-second clock's running down, all of that, I really feel like that's an undervalued part of pressing that people don't spend a lot of time on. But when I've had a lot of success, it's because a majority of the possessions they've had to cross half court on the left-hand side.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Every alignment, no matter what press you're doing, every alignment has 2 trappers, 2 interceptors, and 1 basket protector. And, you know,
yeah, it doesn't matter if you're running the 1-2-2 either. I mean, it's right. It's the same. Yeah.
You do. And so if you think about that, you're always going from one job to another. You're never just a trapper in a press. If you're a trapper, you're quickly going from being a trapper to being an interceptor. And so the reason I talk about that is sometimes people think when it's passed out of the trap, my job's done. Now it's up to the rest of my team. And it's nothing could be further from the truth. You know, as soon as it's passed out, you get your nose back in front of the ball because you are the next interceptor. Somebody else is about to be the next trapper. So going from one job to the other is something we practice a lot. And again, that might be undervalued. A lot of people value, you know, shifts or angles or different things like that. But I think what I just said before, crossing on the left-hand side and then going from one job to another, I think those 2 things have helped even my unathletic teams be able to press really well.
And that takes practice.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it does. Nothing easy is worth it. Nothing worth it is easy. So I feel like that's what it is when it comes to defense, you know.
I agree.
Trappers, L-trap. The L-trap is made by the shape of your 2 trappers. And so the person, there's always in a trap, there's a person who's stopping the forward progress, and then there's somebody that's coming in from the side to close the, I call closing the jail cell, closing the door there.
Okay.
And that person's job is to bring his foot and straddle the other person's foot so it looks like an L if you were looking at it from an aerial view.
Okay.
I have them cross arms, and so above their head, it looks like an X. And I do that for a couple of reasons.
You mean, what do you mean cross, like, I'm not sure I understand what you mean by cross arms.
Let me stop share for a second.
Okay.
I have him do that.
So that's the guy that's trapping does this. Both of them do this.
The two guys that are in the trap. If you think about it, it's hard to pass through that if you just pick the ball up. And it's hard for your guys to commit a stupid reach-in foul.
So they're both doing this with their hands. Right. Okay. So there's not space on the side. I would throw it over your armpit.
Well, if they go down below, how much distance are they going to get on that pass? You know?
Yeah, I agree. Because my theory is always you want to break the windows. You know, there's a window above an ear, window above an ear, hips. Above the head. Yeah,
I agree.
Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoy it. Make sure you subscribe. We would really appreciate that. Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen, those 5-star reviews mean a ton to us. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.